terug.
Okay, goed wacht. We're holding here, I'm not sure. We're holding at pitch 386. We did do the first Rebbeinu Bechai, I'm not sure about the second one. We might as well learn it. As I say, it's kind of sharpened. Okay, he's going on the pasuk of Kosem LeBeis Yaakov Asagim Yisrael, that there's a special amira to the women. So Rashi says that it's benachas Kosem LeBeis Yaakov Ela Noshim Kosem LeLoshon Kodesh Kotem Benachas. So now he's explaining why is it ladies first? If Kosem LeBeis Yaakov is women, why were they set first than men? So he says Va'oid. So a few things. First of all, he says they're learning Talmud Torah per se. They don't have dinim of Talmud Torah, but rather it teaches them their cheretz and musa, which is what today is accepted as being the appropriate framework for teaching Torah. And he says, "Va'oyti lahamshich libun al Torah v'mitzvus, v'loyim al rashi prokim, neishen daitim yishavus kanoshim." And also to give them a general overview of Torah, rather than going into specific details and points, that's Torah that's suitable for women. So you have Rabbeinu Bechaya about a framework of what's appropriate for women to learn, Musa der Cheretz, and to teach them Rashi Prokim. So a general overview of Torah is appropriate. Specific details in that may not be appropriate. V'oid, one more point. She'isha toiva hisibo l'teira. She'choyla lehamshich as b'no l'beis ha-medrish. Having a woman who's in tune with learning Torah and how important it is somebody who can affect her children. She can be moishach her child to beis medrash lefi shehi metzuya bebayis. She's home b'merachemaz lo b'kama minei gaguim, and she gives him a lot of good things kidei lahamshach oisach halimah haTorah min urav v'gam kiyas hasemenu. So what he's saying is like this. We whenever we want to impress or draw somebody to something that's good, but not easily seen as good. So what we do is we add something else that you have immediate good feelings, and we associate it with it. So now, LeMoshel, when you have a when you give a child a candy every time he attends a subanim or a prize or whatever it is, so what you get is the association of the pleasure of the candy, the prize, with the subanim, with the learning. So the two come together, and then hopefully he transitions to appreciating the pleasure of Torah itself. A mother is the one that a child has the most sense of pleasure from. The mother is the one who is the kinder one, giving him things and so on. If she is turned on to learning, then by association, it's fascinating. In the big picture, there are people who have difficult relationships with their father. Rarely do you have somebody who has a difficult relationship with a mother. He may think the mother is too overbearing. He may think the mother is too fadaiget, but an enmity is rare. So a mother is the one that's ma'orah by a person the most ahava, and therefore, if she associates herself with Torah, that brings it out to the kids, and therefore, it's important that the women have the positive feeling. She mitzvah would tell us aloud. She yitun l'Hashem bodim irim b'Torah. That's why it's most appropriate that she be mispalel by near Shabbos. This is the makor for this tefillah. This is after Rabbi Yochai is the makor for it. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu give a children irim b'Torah. Ki atfila yis nishmash b'shas asiyas ha-mitzvah. So when a person is engaged in a mitzvah, there is a much greater schus to poil other things also. There's also a sort of alignment of this mitzvah and this mitzvah. Shenema kiner mitzvah ter'or. V'chein dorshu razal hayman derogul v'shragi hav lebonet ha'mechachamim. That if a person is used to having light, which means candles of mitzvahs, a person will be zeicha to bonet ha'mechachamim. So this Rabbi Nachai is quite famous about that lagas neiros and why a woman is mispowel and so on. Okay, the next Rabbi Nachai deals with something very different. It says, Atem re'isa sisi mitzrayim v'eses ha'af v'shorim v'aves kem aleichem. So that's the introduction. In other words, we start with Atem Re'isa. Why? So he says, Hascholas divish lichusa birlem inyan hashgacha shu ikra teira. He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, starts with hashgacha, which is the ikra teira. This is really an important point for the following. We tend to think of religion as starting with Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So obviously, if there's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no Hashgacha. But just a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing to say about Torah. And a person can believe in it, and it's kind of a very arid belief, just kind of a fact, and that's it. The belief that causes a person to understand, that causes a person to follow Torah mitzvahs is hashgacha. Hashgacha is interaction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bria, expressing a rutzen in the Bria, carrying out his rutzen in the Bria. In other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu just happened to be the one who created the Bria, and occasionally happens to jump in, that's not hashgacha. Hashgacha means he's menayik the Bria to get it to a certain point. And that's what Torah is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga within the Bria. And therefore, one must believe in that to be mekabel Torah. Ki kasher ya'aver HaKadosh Baruch Hu uma b'avoinam v'yatzel uma acheres b'zchusam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed an uma because of their averus, and he used that to save another uma, you know, it's Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. He nizeh mimoyvsi hashgacha u'meikar enesh haschar. That is one of the proofs, the strong proof of Hashgacha, that is Hashgacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want something. There are people who do what I want. There are people, Shoshana, can you bring me some tissues, please? And some people do what they want. Some don't do what they want. Those who do what they want, what I want, are helped. Those who don't do what I want are taken off the stage. V'alkein omar sha'asisi l'mitzrayim, she'vesi amakas alem v'ibaritos v'yam. So the yesod that Torah has to stand on is hashkacha. Emunah in a God is not a yesod that Torah stands on. So what? There is a God and he's great and glorious and made the world. So that's wonderful. But understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a rutzen that he expresses in the Bria and that he is follows through on it, that's the yesod that Torah sits on. Okay, the next one is a svarno. It says, "V'yizam l'skula mikol ha'amim keli kol ha'aretz, v'atem tilu ma'aches kahanim." V'yizam l'skula mikol ha'amim. So the svarno says, "Af al pi shekol ha'min ho'enushi yoker etzli mikol yesed tzer hashpalim." Even though humankind is more precious to me than any other type of being, kihul evada mechuvim behem, because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Arum Chazal Chavad Shevetzalem, mikol makoyim atem tili skula mikula. You're going to be more precious. Now, I want to point out something here. If a person is honest with himself, and everybody's against racism, and everybody's against all forms of kind of being prejudiced and so on and so forth, do we not call ourselves the chosen nation. So if we call ourselves the chosen nation, then how is that different than a white supremacist or anything of that nature? So he says, "Ve'atem tiyumechas kohanim, ubazer tiyu skula mikulam, ki tiyum amlechas kohanim, lahavim ulahayrois lechalamin enushi, likar kulam b'shem Hashem, ul'avishchem echot, k'moshe in Yisrael asid lavai." So he says like this, and this is the core reason why what we believe is not racism in any shape or form, even though we believe Nishmas Yisrael is like far superior to Nishmas Hashem Abayim. If you ask a white supremacist, what does it mean you're superior? The answer will be that the world belongs to us. Everyone else, the yellows, the blacks, the pinks, the purples, all have to be slaves and work for us. And we're supposed to enjoy the fatty earth. Black men shouldn't be drinking from the same water fountain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Across the board, that's what racism is. We believe that we're special. We're the ones who have the chiyuv and ability to keep tayag mitzvahs. Goyim can only keep zayin mitzvahs, and that's it. We have a chiyuv to be better than everybody else because we bring Oyer Hashem into the world. So does any goy have a problem with that? That he's not doesn't have to keep tayag mitzvahs? I mean, the only thing out of all of the things, out of all the perks of being a superior nation, the only one mentioned is getting out to Israel, and it's not to do with being a superior nation. Every nation has its place. We also have a place. That's all. We're superior in our obligation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects more out of us than other Mesolim. Besides the fact, this is not what he's talking about, besides the fact that anybody can come in through the door and join us. All he needs to do is one accept it. So where is that racist? Do we believe we're superior? Yes, we say atav chatanu. What is being superior? That we can do a lot more ruchnistic things than other nations can, and therefore we have that obligation. Another nation that keeps Zayim Zinach, Chassidim Soilam, everything's okay for him, and he's good to go. We are Vayonim if we keep it that way. So this understanding is so different than any other understanding of it. And that's what he says. Being a Mamlechas Kohanim, Ubazet Yuskula Mikula. And that is what makes you unique of everybody else. Okay, the next one is a Sfarnu. Also, Kili Kalaretz, Vahevdul Beinechem Bepachas V'yesehu. Ki Omnam Li Kalaretz, V'chassidu Mesoilam Yikor Metzi B'safik. B'lisafik. So he emphasizes again and again, the Sfarnu, it's not that Umasolam are not precious, but we're more precious because we have that special neshama. But the more preciousness expresses itself in chiyuv and so on. And finally, the last area that... What? Tzvi. Okay? He's like your name, Tzvi. So it's a grandson. So he says, Chassidu Yisrael Amanetzach V'goy Kodesh Bilti nifsodim, avtiu kayomim la'ad be'ish, kimoy she'in lasid lovay, ka'omay v'anishu be'tzion sushlaim, kodesh yomalei. So Klal Yisrael is called Kodesh because they're netzach. V'amr chazal, ma kodesh lo'olam kayim, af heim lo'olam kayomim. V'zeh, ki omnom kavanosa, it's a kavanosa kel Yisrael, matim teiru losis lem, oz kol ha'teva osid, lulei hishchisu darkom be'egel, so the Sfarnu says, finally, one perk we have is that we're the Amah Netzach. Akaso stays forever as an Ummah, and that's it. He says the reason for that is, or not the reason, it's expressed in the words Kaddish. Let's talk a little bit about why Kaddish would express that. If I have a bunch of things happening. I'm building a house on a site, and I have trucks coming and bringing cement, and trucks coming and unpacking this, and a lot of different bits and pieces. So I'm going to, if someone will ask me, well, what will remain at the end? And the answer is, whatever is the ikar, whatever is the tachlis, is what's going to remain at the end. So the word kadosh means designated. Just like when you makdish something, this is what's designated. So kadosh yomaloi is, that's the thing that has been designated. Of all the bits and pieces in the world, Klal Yisrael is the tachlis. Klal Yisrael is what's been set aside, designated. This is what Surah Sarim should look like. This is what Adam will ultimately look like. So our remaining eternal in this world as a nation is due to the fact it's not just an Akash Baruch gives us an extra favor. That's the important piece to remember. It's because who we are is the Iker Debriya. This is the Matar Akash Baruch wanted a Briya. He wanted a Tzuras Adam, that is the Tzuras, Adam of Yisrael. And everything else that's floating around the Briya is there as a Hechatimtza. But the bottom line is, this will stay at the bottom. Okay, the next piece is the Justice Haran, and we're going to have a few pieces now about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gilui at Har Sinai. It says, V'yem HaShem Moshe, Hina Nechi Bo Lecha Ba'ava Onan, V'avo Yishma Amedav Imoch, V'gam B'cho Yeminu Bo'ilo. So we have a Gilui, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down and being Mizgala to Klal Yisrael. So a lot of Rishonim are going to speak here about this Inya being Meskala and what a Kilu is and so on. And let's see the first address around. Avl Ata Chadish Zemash Ola Bedaiti. V'hu. Sh'onag Royim Sh'gam B'dvar Machomrim Hagasim. Himshech Hashem Yisbarach B'chochmosei Sidurim U'mitsuyim V'adrogas Rabbis. K'dei Sh'es Yasha Kol B'sidu Mesukun Meskar B'ktsosov Tzosov. You see that in physical creations also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made things as a gradual continuum. It's one of the fascinating things that in biology, for instance, you have different organizations, different phylums, and there are always intermediary things that fit neither here nor there. And there are always a little of this and a little of that. Between every group, there's always something which is a mamutza between the two. And therefore, so he says, so the most refined metal is not followed by the thickest one. So you have a steady progression of more fine materials leading up to coarse and thick. Certainly, if this is true about beings that are very similar, certainly it's true about beings that are not at all similar. And he's going to be speaking about the connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us can't just be a connection. It's going to come with many levels. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us in the Vua, he wanted it to be many, many madrigas between them. V'im lo'i kein, yeh lechol mi she yashkel zeh b'ein ha-seichel, Yisa zarma oid mishin litmash Hashemesh vishumim tzoy. So Rabbi, the Rosh Hashanah is explaining something as following, and it's important to get this point because it's a klal and sichlius. Whenever somebody's teaching me something new, my mind doesn't accept it. If somebody tells me that there's a place that gravity doesn't exist and things don't attract each other, so it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what that means. I've never seen anything like it, and it is so. It is so discontinuous with anything that I've experienced that I can't accept it. But let's say someone tells me that somebody that can do an extraordinary amount of calculations in his head very quickly. So I don't know anybody like that, and I don't believe it. But then he shows me somebody who is very good at it. Somebody who's still better, somebody who's really, really good at it. So I begin to get the sense that there's a progression, there's a trail that starts in a place I can follow it. So maybe beyond that also. In other words, when I give a person a handle and a progression, once I know that there are people that can multiply columns in their minds, and the question is one column, 10 columns or 100 columns, it's a question of quantity. It's no longer a question of possibility. So for us to understand Elikus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to give gradations. So I can say, I've seen somebody a little more ruchnistic, somebody still more, somebody still more. So he says, V'imloiken yechol mishayashkev v'zebein ha-seichel, yoyse zar me'oid mishulonidmash Hashem v'lishumim tzoy. It would be worse than somebody looking at the sun without anything, where your eye just can't adjust to the absolute light from no light. Im she'arno is such a grom a godel kamu keflaim kadu arts she'skayv ishmeni love yifkoish b'pkias geshem yigeshem v'shashem es toyer chuma atibi v'tifakas einav t'chazik zol chulo. Even though we have a sense of what the sun is about, we still can't be tofes it as it is. Ze omnom yoyse kalo kol maskil. That still is easier than just to be tefis HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally ruchnius, we're totally gashmius. There's no way that connects. Emes omnam, kshekol ma shetia ma'asish gedoyla, leitzterich libeim tzor. The higher a person is, the taller a person is, the less means he needs. Bechol ma shetikten ma'losoy, and the lesser a person he is, needs more and more means. By the way, this is one of the points in why a mushal is an effective tool, an important tool in teaching. What does a mushal accomplish? Let's take a dogma. I take a primitive man, and I describe to him an airplane, and he says, impossible. But if he sees a bird, so he already has some picture of reality of something flying. And if I can show him a very, very big bird, a heavy, huge bird flying, so now he has more of a picture of it. A marshal is very helpful because it bridges the gap between something that is no shaykhus to me. When I use a marshal for somebody, to explain something to somebody, what I do is I take some item that the person has an awareness of, and it has associated or overlapping properties with the thing I'm trying to describe. And when you put it together, I've given you a bridge. And that's really ultimately, anytime I want to teach you something really new, I need to use a mushal. I need to put it into the language and images that you're familiar with. And now, so you understand it's more than that, but at least I understand what it is. So he says, V'zesha omas Moshe Rabbeinu Ashton Pashtu V'oma V'tikrivun V'tamnu T'ar Sahar V'ar Bor V'esh Adev Shemayim Choshkan V'arafu. So Choshech on a ruffle teach the following. Because of the low madrega, they needed many entities between them and the or. Even though by Moshe Rabbeinu there wasn't a Muranon, Moshe Rabbeinu pshat haKosov she'amah vayikah by Moshe Hala yirid a Muranon ve'amad besvayil ve'amah Moshe Rabbeinu chayin arshol kareshayim v'chulu v'amuran yidav aleihem she'nir mizeh she'roiv dibur Moshe Muranon amnam gam k'she'noimak she'yekein leya oisem tzoros of achikah choshkan v'arafu avutzem choshkan kareshayim she'yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu taka needed some onan possibly. But that onan was a very, very fine material. It wasn't heavy with kaisel. Kaisel onan chesha rafel. It's just like when you masbet to somebody who could really clueless about being masbet, you need to lay on the mushel really thick, and you need to add layers to it. When you're just using it as a remiza to somebody who understands, you just need to have some semblance of a mushel, and that's good enough. Hashem was kind of apologizing to Moshe. That he was approaching his nevuah with such a coarse. It's like, imagine I'm explaining to a group of people who are very intelligent and using a lot of simple mishalim over and over again. So Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming down with such an approach. For Moshe, it was a letdown, embarrassment, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu apologized. And he said, the Oman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I'm coming to you in the very thick Onan, but voyishma ha'am b'davima, because I want them to tune in. The Oman says, "Ina mitzad Moshe, abavu shuroitzel zakas yisrael shish medvare, lo yuchlo lekablam kim b'mitzua oivim tzayahu, v'ama oiv kim olvad shuroitzel liskei seisim b'zeh, nimshachayit mizeh te'elas otzum, So Duran says over here that basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he comes and is mezgala himself, we can't hear it in the refined way Moshe Rabbeinu has it. A nevuah is not a loudspeaker speaking from Shemayim, and you know, hear ye, and so on. It's an input of information in a way that a person who has no ruchnistic sensitivity really, really can't tap into it. It needs to be fleshed out. It's just like a radio signal is too weak for anybody to hear. It needs to be caught and amplified. And the harder the hearing is, the more it needs to be amplified. Devar Hashem needs that amplification, and Klai Yisrael needed it. Moshe Rabbeinu needed very little of it. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying in the Pasuk. Hinei Rechavo Lecha Ba'ava Onan. Why am I coming to you in such a coarse form when you're capable of more? I want them to be part of this nevuah. Okay, so we'll hold it here at the end of the Drash Saran. Any questions, points, anything like this?
You know, chosen nation. So just, yeah, you know, as far as like Kiev, I'm not involved in Kiev, but something that I hear from people I know, like when again, like the Rebbeinu Mechaya, is something that they can say to like a modern feminist with regard to, you know, the Yiddish, you know, how the Torah relates to women. Is that something that?
Well, you can say it, but I don't know what the reaction will be. That Rebbeinu Mechaya will probably get into trouble. And the people they feel it's kind of a minor role. They feel it's apologetic. They feel whatever. And the fact that that a woman's role is crucial. A child, a big part of a child wanting to learn has a lot to do with his parents wanting to learn. And his mother's really wanting him has a much deeper effect than a father. Father can push him more quickly into it, but a mother, but people don't like to buy into that today. And, you know, I can tell you what they'll say. It's just the men putting the women down, giving a fair role. And you can fill in the rest yourself.
Isn't there something that if their whole role is just for the children, then what is that? It's just like it never ends. It's just for the males eventually. Like it's
a pasuk. She's called Chava because she's Ein Kol Chai. The name of the first one was the fact that a person is a creator. The closest thing to creator is a woman giving birth to a child, not only physically when she gives birth to him, but in a more optimistic sense. So just like the mitzvah Tam Torah is Vishnata Vanecha, first and foremost, for a woman having children, that's a realization of self. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a creator, and a woman is a creator. More than a man is. A woman gives a child a body and a life when he's born, and she gives him everything else with the warmth and the positive atmosphere that she creates. So all of that, it's the society's shame that that's considered to be inferior. There was once a Chabadnik who opened up a base Chabad somewhere, and she introduces her to the community, and he introduced his wife as a woman who runs an institution for 9 homeless children. And everybody was extremely impressed until they realized that they're talking about her children. Now, why is it less impressive? I don't know. The reason why our children are homeless is because she's their home and she cares for them 24/7. But in the world, the part of the twisting out of what's considered chashev, what's not chashev, is part of this.
What do we make about people like Dvorah? And I heard the Maharshal's great grandmother was.
There's nothing wrong with that. There are men who have races also. There's not to say that a woman cannot, but if you ask,
Chaya says the Rosh HaProk, he says only Rosh HaProkim.
Right. So you teach her. You don't sit and teach her Gemara. The general chi of Talmud Torah, but the norm is her role in giving avos to the children. But that there were exceptions, just like the men exceptions. Men who had to raise a family, they did it well. And that was that. But as it's klal, the Bria Ve'isha is called Eim Kol Chai because that's what she does. Just like on the one hand, a woman who can and wants to be an engineer, she's got the mind for it, the grades for it, and so on, it'd be wrong to deprive her of that. By the same token, it's wrong to come up with an idiocy that be'etzim 50% of the women should be engineers, and the reason they're not engineers is because men are discriminated against them. It's not true. Most women want to be in a human interaction, active situation. That's the mitzvah. So there's no reason to why anyone has to discriminate and not give a woman who is suited for it. But for the same reason, because we decided that women should be engineers like men, unless 50% of engineers are women, it's not good. That's idiocy. And, it's because we told them and we forced them. It's twisting everything because they have a sheet to start with. Okay. Good. Tagutvach. Cultivate.